Hare Krishna. So we just saw a very nice, simple but very sweet magic show being performed by Radha. And she's taken a lot of trouble to perform it for us. So we are very grateful to her. All of us like to see magic. When I was a child, I remember, I used to like to see magic shows. I've seen a lot of magic shows. In fact, even after I grew up, I've gone for magic shows with my children. Why do we like to see magic? Because it's good entertainment. It arouses our curiosity and it's a good exercise for the brain. You know, it makes us think, how did she do it? Maybe it was like this, maybe it was like that. Sometimes when we go for a magic show, we want to crack the show. We want to figure out how the magician must have done it. When they call us as a volunteer, we think that, now I'll be able to figure out. But most of the time, we aren't able to figure out. Once, when I had gone for this show at Bharati Vidya Bhavan, this K. Lal, he had performed just some years back with my children, I had gone. And he performed some amazing tricks on the stage. And the last one, the finale was, he was on the stage and he had these rings going round him. He was in between the rings. You know, he was turning the rings and he was in the middle. And suddenly it went so fast, we couldn't see him inside. And then he disappeared. And the next moment, he was at the back. He came from the back of the theater to the front. And we don't know how he did it. There was one story about a troupe of magicians who came to the court of a king. It was a husband, wife and children. And they performed so well, the king was very, very happy. He was very impressed. So he took off his own pearl necklace and he gave it to the husband. And to his surprise, the husband and wife started fighting over the pearl necklace. She said, I deserve it. And he said, no, I'm the head. And they all started fighting over that pearl necklace. And to their horror, this husband, the main magician, he actually took out a knife and he killed his wife. And then, because he realized what he has done in his anger, he killed himself. And they both fell down on the ground and everyone was horrified. What a horrible ending to such a nice evening. So the king said, just take away the dead bodies, and everything was cleared and everybody was a little upset about the entire incident. And the next morning, to everybody's surprise, the entire family was back and they said, how did you like our finale? How did you like the climax? They were all alive. So how did they do it? We don't know. Yet another thing was, I remember our Guru Maharaj speaking about this, that once in the time of British, there was a magician who performed a show. And he invited all the British for his magic show. Now, the British are known for their punctuality. Indians, we have our Indian standard time. 6 o'clock means 6:15, 6:30, 7 o'clock bhi chalta hai. But British are not like that. They are very, very particular about time. 6 means they were in their seats sharp at 6 o'clock. And they were waiting. 6, 6:15, 6:30, no magician. He came very late. He came at 6:45 and they were very upset. They were very restless because their time, precious time was being wasted. And he came and to everybody's shock, he started by saying that I'm known for my punctuality, you know. I like to start on time. So now, since it's 6 o'clock sharp, we'll start immediately. And they all looked at their watches and it was 6. It was 6 o'clock and just some moments back they had seen it was 6:45. So how did he do it? So magicians, they have different ways of doing. Generally, they manipulate matter, or sometimes some magicians, they use hypnosis. Most of the time, they use mass hypnosis. When I was discussing this topic with my brother, he happened to mention to me that there was one magician called David Copperfield. Many of you may have heard of him, who called a large audience in the USA and he told them, I'm going to make the Statue of Liberty disappear. And he actually did it. Such a big Statue of Liberty, he made it disappear for some time, of course, then it reappeared. So they use mass hypnosis. Hypnosis means it's the altered state of consciousness, where the person, he makes you submissive to his commands. You start seeing things or doing things in the way that he wants. That is called hypnosis. So these are two types of magic. One is the conjuring, which Radha did just now, making things appear, making things disappear, pulling feathers out of a cap. They take an empty cap and they pull out 20 pigeons from that. That's called conjuring. And next is hypnosis, what that magician did. No, he hypnotized the audience to believe that it was 6 o'clock and not 6:45. So these are two types. And the third type is supernatural magic, where the magician actually has supernatural powers. by dint of his mystic powers, maybe he has performed a lot of austerities or done a lot of meditation and so on, and they get mystic powers by which they can actually influence or control people or events. The Shastras explain that yogis, they do tapasya, they do austerities for thousands of years, and they acquire what are called as siddhis. You may call them magic, or you may call them mystic powers or siddhis. There are different types of siddhis. It's explained anima, mahima, lagima, prapti, so on and so forth, where a person can become lighter than the lightest, smaller than an atom, heavier than the heaviest. They can become as heavy as a mountain. They can gain, take out things from far off. That's called prapti. When Srila Prabhupada explained about yogis, it seems there are some yogis who go into the Ganges at Gangotri and the next moment they come out at Prayag. Because they want to attend the Kumbh Mela at Prayag, they don't come by train or by bus. They just go in at Gangotri and they come out at Prayag in an instant. That's because they have mystic powers. They are yogis who can get you an apple from Kashmir, they are the yogis who can get you dry fruits from Afghanistan and so on. But there are also people who misuse these powers. They use these powers for doing tantric rites, black magic, they practice witchcraft, so on. But we are not going to go into details about that. So here, these are people who actually can do things. In the earlier two, we are imagining. It is our perception. Because our senses are limited, our senses are not perfect, so we perceive things in a particular way. Our senses are limited, we all know. For example, if we see the sun, then it appears to be just like a small golden plate. But we know that it's a ball of fire. If we put a stick into water, it appears to be bent. But we know that it's because of refraction that it's appearing to be bent. It's still straight. So because of our limited senses, sometimes we perceive things in a particular way. And that is the principle which magicians use to illusion us or bewilder us. But in case of mystics or those with supernatural powers, they actually are doing the things which they are showing you. You're not imagining, they are actually doing it because they have those powers. So those are the three types: conjuring, hypnosis, and supernatural. The fourth magic that we are going to talk about is nature's magic. Nature is performing magic 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, continuously. It's a free magic show. It's just that we don't notice. We don't observe. Why? Because we take things for granted. Because we are familiar with it. It's happening all around us all the time, but we don't notice. The magic that nature performs is different from these three. Why? These three we can learn by doing some, taking some formal training or some austerities or some sort of discipline. We can manage to learn some of the tricks. Maybe you can get friendly with the magician and get to know some of the tricks, right? But nature's magic, nobody can imitate. Nobody can duplicate. She's the original. She has the copyright. Nobody else knows how to do what she is doing. So there are millions of such examples. We are going to take just a few today. The first one is the cow. Now, the cow drinks milk. She eats green grass, right? The cow doesn't drink milk. She eats green grass, but she gives us white milk. It's said that blood transforms into milk. How? We don't know. Can anyone do it? Can someone take blood and change it into milk? But the cow does it. The mother does it. When she feeds her child, her blood transforms into milk. Nobody can do it. Only nature can. Second, we have plants. We are seeing plants all around us. Have you ever pondered how it happens? The soil is brown. Water is transparent. The seed is most of the time brown or colorless. And sunlight is yellow. But what do we get? We get leaves of different colors. We get flowers with different colors and aromas. Some flowers even yield nectar, from which the bees make honey. We get fruits of different colors, of different shapes, size and taste, just from soil. Does soil have taste? Does water have taste? Does sunlight have taste? No. But still we get so many fruits, vegetables, flowers, which have different aromas and different tastes. How does it happen? It's nature's magic. Next. Then we have the human body. Human body is just magic. Right from the time birth takes place, if we consider its magic, how does it happen? Every organ in the body is so perfect and it comes from just one tiny little cell. Each cell goes on dividing to form innumerable cells, and then at the right time, they just stop dividing. Who tells them that now you have to stop? Nature. At one point in time, they stop dividing, and then each cell decides that now I'll become the hair. One cell decides I'll become the kidney. One cell decides I'll form the liver. One cell decides I'll form the heart. And in this way, the different cells, they form different organs of the body. Who tells them? How does it happen? That is nature's magic. Next. The next is the vitamin B12. As Vishakha Mataji mentioned, my father, he is the head of the chemistry department. He's retired now. And he's into organic chemistry. So he told me about this vitamin B12, which is a molecule, which is an element which is very commonly available in nature, if somebody knows about chemistry. But 99 scientists from 19 countries, they worked for 11 years under two Nobel laureates, R.B. Woodward from Harvard and Eshen Mosher from Zurich. For 11 years, they worked so hard to synthesize just a few milligrams of this particular vitamin B12. So much money, so much energy, and so much time was spent to synthesize just a little bit of this vitamin, which is freely available in nature. So what nature can do, nobody can do. Scientists are trying hard. Maybe we have been able to duplicate some artificial limbs or some artificial organs, but we are nowhere near nature. We are nowhere close to nature. For example, we have carbon. Carbon is an element from which we get coal as well as diamond. Now, coal is black. We all know what is coal, colsa. And diamond, they are two different, they're like opposite poles, but they come from the same element. Just a little more pressure and a diamond is formed. Now, scientists may be able to make, people are making artificial diamonds, but it won't have the properties of the original diamond that only nature can make. An oyster takes a grain of sand and makes a pearl. That's again nature's magic. Then we have the planets. We have learnt in physics the law of centrifugal gravitation, so on, which make the planets move in their orbits. They are hanging in space. We can't hang in space. Have you ever tried? Only Trishanku is hanging in space. We can never do it because of the law of gravitation will come down. But these planets, they're so perfectly balanced that they are in their orbits. They are moving perfectly in their orbits. It's explained that if the planets go just a little closer to the sun, we'll all be burned to death. And if they go a little farther, we will die of cold. That means the position which they are in is perfect. Who put them in that position? Who is making them move in that order? Nature. When we say nature, have we stopped to think whose nature we are talking about? Whenever we say nature, obviously it has to be somebody's nature. When I was a young girl, I remember in one movie song I had heard. Of course, now I don't see movies, but many years back, Hari Hari Vasundara Pe Neela Neela Ye Gagan. If somebody knows that song. He says, Ye Kis Kavi Ki Kalpana. He describes nature. He says, Ye Kis Kavi Ki Kalpana. Ye Kis Kavi Ki Kalpana Ka Chamatkar Hai. Ye Kaun Chitrakar Hai. Ye Kaun Chitrakar. That who is this artist? When we see nature is so beautiful, the creation is so beautiful, it goes without saying that there has to be a creator, somebody who is controlling nature. Once, Sir Isaac Newton, he's a great scientist, he called a friend, an atheist friend, one who didn't believe in God, to his house. And Sir Isaac Newton had just kept on the table a beautiful model of the planetary system. The planets were actually moving. He had somehow made the machinery in such a way they were actually moving the way they should. So the friend was very impressed. He said, "From where did you get this model made?" So Isaac Newton said, I don't know. It one fine day it just manifested on its own. So the friend said, "Are you crazy or you think I'm crazy? How can such an intricate piece of machinery manifest on its own?" So Sir Isaac Newton told him that you cannot believe that this small little model of the planetary system manifested on its own, but yet you are willing to believe that there is no creator who has created this entire cosmic manifestation. So this man was speechless. Just like one example is given in the Bhagavad Gita course, that if you find a Rolex watch lying on the beach, now Rolex watch is a very, very costly and very intricate piece of machinery. If you find the watch, you may come about the watch by chance, but you can't say that the watch has come about by chance. It's obvious somebody has created. So when we are talking about nature's magic, all these different examples, it's obvious that there's somebody behind it. Who is that person? That is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the controller of nature. Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. That I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds and everything emanates from me. And the wise who know this, they engage in my devotional service. Matta parataram nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam protam sutre mani gana iva. That everything rests on me, O Arjuna, just like pearls are strung on a thread. Just like if we see a beautiful pearl necklace, we can't see the string, we can only see the pearls. But obviously, if they are bound together, that means there has to be a string which is going through. That's why they are together. So when we see nature, when we see things moving, when we see such perfect alignment, when we see such perfect harmony, we have to understand that there is somebody who is controlling. And who is that? That is Sri Krishna. Lord Krishna, he is the master of material energy. It is explained in the scriptures. Now it is Navaratri time. Everybody is worshipping Durga Devi. So who is Durga Devi? This material world is called Durg or a prison house. And the one who is in charge of material, managing the material affairs is called Durga. Durga Devi. She is Maya Devi. She is none other than the Lord's potency. She is the Lord's energy. And she, under the instruction of Lord Krishna, is managing this material world. In the Brahma Samhita, it is mentioned, Shrishti Stiti Pralaya Sadhana Shakti Rekha Chaye Vayasya Bhuvanani Vivarti Durga Ichchanurupama Piyasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Well, Lord Brahma is praying, actually. He is saying that Durga Devi, she is just a shadow of your chit potency. What is a shadow? Shadow means when I move my hand, the shadow moves. So when Lord Krishna moves his hand, Durga Devi moves accordingly. She works under his direction. She works under his command. So she is managing the entire material world according to his direction. She is doing one job of managing material nature. And the second job Durga Devi does, one magic is nature's magic. And the second magic Durga Devi performs is of keeping the conditioned souls bound in this material world. You already mentioned that this material world is like a jail, a durg. And we are in this jail and we are always being pricked by her trident. You know, Durga Devi holds a trident in her hand. What does it stand for? Adi Bhautik, Adhyatmik and Adi Daivik. That is miseries that are caused by one's own body, miseries caused by others and miseries caused by nature. So we are always suffering because of these miseries. And Durga Devi, she's pricking us with that trident to reform us. Because it's a jail and we are here for reformation. So she keeps us bound by her material energy. She keeps us in the spell of Maya. That is a magic spell which Durga Devi casts upon all of us. So we think that we are self-centered and we think that what we are doing is perfectly right. Enjoying sense gratification and remaining in the material world is the goal of life. We can't see anything beyond that because of the spell of Durga Devi. But Durga Devi is none other than the servant of Lord Krishna. Next. So, the Lord, when he comes to this material world, he performs so many pastimes. We will be discussing some of the pastimes which the Lord performed when he came. So, we just now said that Krishna is the master of Durga. So, it goes to say that he is the greatest magician. He is the one who is empowering Durga Devi or nature to perform the magic that she performs. So Krishna, he is the master of all mystics. He has all the powers which he is giving to others. But other magicians may undergo training, but Krishna does not have to undergo training to get those powers. Other magicians, they may go to some class or learn from someone else, but Krishna is the original supreme personality of Godhead. He was always, he is, and he will continue to be. When Lord Krishna appeared, he did not have to undergo some yogic mystic process and then he did his magic. Right from day one, he showed his transcendental prowess. The Lord appeared in so many incarnations. He appeared as Matsya Dev, the fish incarnation, where he was a small fish and he went on growing We can't discuss all these stories in details for lack of time, maybe some other day. He appeared as Varaha Dev, where he appeared as a tiny little boar from Lord Brahma's nose. And then he became as big as the entire universe and he killed the demon Hiranyaksha. Then he appeared as Kurmadev. He was a huge tortoise who took the Mandar mountain on his hill and he served as a base for the Mandar mountain during the churning of the milk ocean. Then the Lord appeared as Narsimhadev, half man, half lion, and he killed the demon Hiranyakashipu. The Lord appeared as Vamandev. He came as a small dwarf. He was so tiny. But when Bali Maharaj promised to give him 3 steps of land, he went on growing. He grew so big that with one step he covered the entire upper planetary systems. With the other step he covered the lower planetary systems. So big was his step. He's called Trivikrama. He covered all the planetary systems. So these are the wonderful ways in which the Lord appears. He appears in different ways at different times. There are millions of incarnations. We can describe only a few. Then when the Lord appeared personally in his original form as Shri Krishna in Gokul Vrindavan, he displayed such wonderful pastimes. We all know that when Krishna ate mud, Yashoda Mai opened his mouth and he showed her the universe within his mouth. She saw the entire cosmic manifestation within Krishna's mouth and within that she saw herself sitting with Krishna on her lap. So he was outside. Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So he was outside as well as inside. Next, we have the Damodar Leela. And Krishna was naughty and Yashoda tied him to the ukkal. She took rope to tie him. And she took it like this and she found it is 2 fingers short. So she brought more rope and she tied it. And again she tried to tie him. But yet it was 2 fingers short. More, more, more. She brought all the rope that was in Vrindavan. But yet it was 2 fingers short. And the magic is that Krishna's waist did not expand. Krishna was as he was, but she could not tie him. Only when he decided to be tied, then she could tie him. This is the way Krishna plays his magic. Next. The next is when he lifted the Govardhan. He lifted Govardhan in order to save the Brajvasis from the wrath of Indra. And after this Govardhan Leela was over, the Brajvasis, they had a huge Annakoot ceremony where they offered beautiful big offerings to Govardhan. Then Krishna entered into Govardhan and accepted those offerings. And the Brajvasis saw that Krishna was standing next to them and also he was in Govardhan. He was in both places and as Govardhan, he accepted all the offerings. Within a second, all the offerings disappeared. Mountains of rice and rasgullas and sandesh and different items, they all disappeared within seconds. And then he said, Anior. Anior means what? Everything was over. All their ingredients were over. What will they make? Then somebody had the presence of mind. They offered a tulsi leaf. And then Krishna burped. Govardhan burped actually. And then everything appeared again. Everything appeared again. And that was Mahaprasad. And they had a huge feast called the Annakoot festival. They had a wonderful Mahaprasad. So he did this particular magic. The next one is when the Lord swallowed the forest fire. When Krishna and his friends were in the forest, they were tending the cows and suddenly there was a huge forest fire. Now if any of you know what a forest fire is, it's not like an ordinary fire. You can't just put it off by just sprinkling, putting some buckets of water. Forest fire sometimes goes on for months. It spreads. We say, spread like a forest fire. It spreads very fast. So you need rain. Only when there's heavy rain, then a forest fire can be extinguished. In some foreign countries, they bring helicopters. And from above, they sprinkle water. Only then it can be extinguished. But what did Krishna do? All his friends said, Krishna, Krishna, help. The Brajvasis, in any situation, they would always turn to Krishna. He was their only shelter. They did not go and call a fire brigade. They just told Krishna to help them. So he told them, close your eyes. So they closed their eyes and what did Krishna do? Bas, that's it. He just sucked once and he swallowed the entire forest fire. Why did he ask them to close their eyes? Because when he ate mud, they complained to Yashoda Mai. So now when he swallowed fire, if they would tell Yashoda Mai, then she would be in too much anxiety. That's why he asked them to close their eyes. But he swallowed fire. The entire forest fire was extinguished within a second. Next. We know this is a very famous example, how when Draupadi was being stripped naked in the assembly of the Kurus, she prayed to the Lord and the Lord supplied unlimited length of sari in order to save Draupadi. Then we have another example of how Draupadi was saved, where Durvas Muni had come to Duryodhan's palace, and Duryodhan served him very, very nicely, very opulent food. And then Duryodhan, out of his envy, he told Durvas Muni that, please go and visit my brothers also. They are in the forest. Please give them your blessings. Because Duryodhan knew that it was the time when they would have finished their lunch. So he was planning that now if Durvas Muni goes there, they won't be able to offer him anything to eat and he will curse them and they will be finished. So with this motive, he sent them to the forest. Not out of, he didn't have their welfare in mind. So Durvas Muni and his 10,000 disciples, they went. And Draupadi got a shock. She had just finished eating. She had an Akshay Patra. Till she ate, any amount of people could eat from the Akshay Patra. But moment she finished, till the next day, there was no food coming from there. So she had just eaten. Now what will we do? Again, she prayed to Krishna. And Krishna appeared there immediately. And he came and told Draupadi, I'm very hungry, Draupadi. Can you give me something to eat? So she said, Krishna, why are you embarrassing me? You know what is my position. Already I am in so much tension. Durvas Muni and his 10,000 disciples have come. And now you are asking me for food. I don't have anything. I wish I could serve you, but I don't have anything. He said, are you sure? She said, yeah. He said, bring the Akshay Patra. And when she brought it, he found one grain. Some say a grain of rice or some say saag. And he took that and he put it in his mouth. And he said, and he belched. And he said, now I am satisfied. I am full. And he rubbed his tummy like this. And there, Durvas Muni and his disciples were just gone for a bath. They told Yudhishthir, we'll have a bath and then come back for prasad. Suddenly they felt as if they have eaten a feast. They were full. Stomachs are so heavy. He said, oh my God. They all belched. He said, now we can't go and eat. Draupadi must have prepared a feast for us, but we can't face her. Can you eat? You eat? You eat. No, everybody said, I am full. I can't eat. So Bhima will get angry. He'll come behind us with a club. Let's run away from here. We'll not go there. So they all ran away. So in this way, Lord Krishna saved them. Next. Then, on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna showed his universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna expressed a desire, so he showed him the universal form. It's not that it was pre-planned. He didn't hire Brabourne Stadium and rehearse for so many days and then come there and show some, you know, magic. Instantaneously. And when Arjuna said, my dear Lord, this form of yours brings fear into my heart. I want to see your form of Shyam Sundar. Immediately Krishna reverted back to his original form. Instantaneously. Next. When Jayadrath was to be killed by Arjuna, Arjuna took a vow that I'll kill Jayadrath before sunset. Otherwise I'll jump into fire. And the Kauravas thought, wow, now we have Arjuna caught. The only thing we have to do is we have to protect Jayadrath. And then Arjuna will have to die because he has made a vow. So they formed a very protective covering round Jayadrath and Arjuna just couldn't penetrate. So in the evening, he actually made arrangements for the fire. He was about to jump in. Krishna told him, wait. Wait, Arjuna. And with his Sudarshan Chakra, he covered the sun. So the Kurus were happy. They were celebrating. Now Arjuna is killed. And Jayadrath came out of that protective covering. Immediately, Krishna took off the Sudarshan Chakra, told Arjuna, see, the sun has still not set. Kill. And Jayadrath was killed. Next, we have the example of Uttara. Uttara was Abhimanyu's wife. And she was pregnant with Parikshit. All the other sons of Draupadi were killed by Ashwatthama, the son of Drona. And now Ashwatthama wanted to kill the last surviving heir to the throne, who was Parikshit, who was within his mother's womb. And Ashwatthama, he sent a Brahmastra to kill that child who was within Uttara's womb. And what did Uttara do? Same thing that the Brajvasis did. What did she do? She prayed to Krishna. Krishna, please help. Please save this child who is within my womb. And Krishna was standing there. This was the time when Krishna was actually leaving for Dwarka. Krishna, Kunti, all the Pandavas, Uttara, they were all standing there. And at that time this happened. And Krishna is standing there. And he's standing there and also he entered into Uttara's womb. He took the form, the shape, so much size. And he entered into Uttara's womb and he saved child Parikshit. He was outside and he was inside. Even Queen Kunti was bewildered that you are outside as well as you are inside. She says, you are Natyadhar, you are an actor. Now, how do you do these things? We can't understand the mysteries of your magic. We can't understand your magic. And the last that we take is the one where Narad Muni goes to Dwarka. He is very curious to know how Lord Krishna is staying as a householder with his 16,108 wives on the small island of Dwarka. 16,108 wives, and they each of them had their own palaces. And when he went to each palace, he was surprised. Lord Krishna was in each palace performing different activities. He expanded himself into 16,108 forms and he was in each palace doing different activities with different wives and doing different things. And then when it was time to go to court, Krishna came out of all those palaces. 16,108 Krishnas came out, merged into one and then went to court. Then again came back, expanded into 16,108 and went into the different palaces. So in this way, Lord Krishna, he performed so many pastimes. Actually, there are thousands. But we can't, obviously, we can't speak about all of them. But these are the main, prominent ones. But unfortunately, although Krishna performed so much magic, transcendental pastimes, and also gave instructions through the Bhagavad Gita, in spite of that, still, people were not able to accept that Krishna is the Supreme. There were so many people who could not accept. Even today, there are so many people who don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accept him just as another ordinary personality. Oh, there is Vivekananda, there is Gandhiji, and there is Krishna. But Krishna is God. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But still people could not recognize. Arjuna saw the universal form, but Duryodhan also had seen the universal form. When Krishna went as peacemaker, Duryodhan wanted to capture Krishna. At that time, Krishna showed the universal form. In spite of that, he could not accept that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He could not surrender to Krishna. Why? Kamsa was Krishna's uncle, but he could not surrender to Krishna. Why? Because Krishna does another type of magic. He covers us, as we mentioned earlier, by his external energy, Durga. He covers us with a magic spell. He reserves the right of not being exposed to those who are not surrendered unto him. If we don't want to serve Krishna, then he will cover us through his agency of Durga. He will cover us by the curtain of Maya. So we can't recognize him and we will just go on with whatever we are doing. But if we are sincere and we have the slightest desire to serve, then Lord Krishna as well as his energy Durga will facilitate us. It said if we move one step toward the Lord, he moves 10 steps towards us. So it is our choice. It's our choice whether we want to come under the influence of Durga Devi's magic and be covered by the curtain of Maya and not recognize Krishna and not surrender to him, or we want to come under the magic spell of Krishna and surrender to him and serve him. So Durga Devi, she keeps us, she hypnotizes us. Just as a magician hypnotized us and he made us, you know, believe so many things, same way Durga Devi, she hypnotizes us. It's mass hypnotism. The entire world is hypnotized. But the moment we start understanding the magic of Lord Krishna, then slowly the spell of Maya or the magic spell of Durga Devi ceases to act on us. Next. So why does the Lord come and perform this type of magic? There are many reasons. We hear Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Chadushkritam. The Lord comes for many reasons. But actually speaking, the Lord doesn't come to kill demons. He doesn't need to do that. He is Paramatma in everyone's heart. Just he can cause a heart attack and kill. And the material affairs are very well being managed by his agent, Durga Devi. So why does he come? He comes and he performs this magic just to attract our hearts to his lotus feet and to give pleasure to his devotees. Because when we see or when we hear about this magic, then we feel attracted to him. Then we feel a desire to surrender to him. And that gives us, conditioned souls, a chance to go back to the spiritual world, to be freed from the cycle of birth and death. That is why it is magic. It is not magic just because Krishna lifted a hill or because he swallowed fire, but because just by seeing or hearing or thinking or even remembering or speaking about this magic, we get liberated instantly from the cycle of birth and death. There is a story about the thief who took shelter in an ashram. He was running from the police and he was hiding in the ashram and he heard some stories about Krishna. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful and he has this Kaustubh Mani. He's wearing a lot of ornaments. So he thought, wow, you know, once for all I'll steal from this child Krishna, then I don't need to steal again. I'll make my fast buck. So he wanted to go to Vrindavan actually and steal all the ornaments from Krishna's body. So on the way he was thinking, so that he should not forget the information, he was constantly thinking, Krishna, Vrindavan, peacock feather, whose son is he? Nanda Baba's son, Yashoda's son. Huh? He was constantly thinking, and this way he went to Vrindavan. By the time he reached there, he was purified. He had actually lost the desire to steal. But still, when Krishna came in front of him, Krishna actually offered him, you can take the jewels, no problem. So he removed the jewelry from Krishna's body. But when he saw the jewelry, he said, now it doesn't look so beautiful. It looked more beautiful on Krishna. And he actually dressed Krishna again. He put the jewelry back. I mean, just imagine, here is a thief he had come to take, but he is giving back. That is the effect that Krishna Katha has. Just by remembering Krishna, everything about Krishna is magical. It is transcendental. If we come in contact with Krishna in any shape or form, with his holy name, with his pastimes, with his devotees, we get purified. When Krishna went to Yamloka once, Sandipani Muni, the guru of Krishna, he asked Krishna to recover his dead son. We ask, the guru normally takes Guru Dakshina at the end of the teaching. Now Sandipani Muni knew he is no ordinary person. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I should ask him for something extraordinary. So he told him, please recover. Sandipani Muni told Krishna, please recover my dead son from Yamraj. So Krishna went there. And when he went to the hellish planets, to Yamloka, he blew his shank, Panchajanya. And as soon as he blew his shank, it's explained that all the people who are there, all those souls who are there in the hellish regions were all delivered from the sinful reactions. The very fact they were in hell, that means they were so sinful. But they were delivered from their sinful reactions just by hearing the sound of the conch shell of Lord Krishna. That is the potency, that is the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is so powerful, slightest contact with Krishna can purify us. Why? Because everything about him is transcendental. Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti so Arjuna. That anyone who can understand the transcendental nature of my birth and my activities, he does not have to take birth again, because everything about the Lord is magical. It is transcendental. So this magic cannot be compared to the material or mundane magic of this world. All other forms of magic, they may entertain us, they may give us some enjoyment, temporary. But Krishna's magic has the potency to free us from the clutches of Maya and to take us back to the spiritual world. When Krishna came, he was a little strict. He said, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja. I want full surrender. Then I will free you from all sinful reactions. But 500 years ago, Lord Krishna, the same Lord Krishna, he appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to create magic in our lives. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, Krishna and Balram, they came as Chaitanya and Nityananda to freely reveal the secrets or the magic of the spiritual world to us, by which we can develop a desire and actually go back to the spiritual world. What did they say? They told everybody to chant. Lord Chaitanya said, Enechi aushadi maya nashivara lagi, Hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. That, wake up sleeping souls, jeev jago, wake up. You are sleeping on the lap of Maya Devi. You have been actually hypnotized by the magic spell of Maya Devi. Wake up, come out of that. I have brought the medicine by which you can be freed from this illusion. And what is that? The chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to spread Harinam Sankirtan. He said that you can be freed from the magic spell of Maya Devi only through one process in this age of Kali Yuga, and that is Harinam Sankirtan. Chanting the holy names in the association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya personally preached. He would go to a person, touch the person, embrace the person and say, Hari Bol, chant Hare Krishna. And that person would get a shock, electric current passing through his body. He would get so charged up, he would start jumping, dancing, singing. He would go and touch another person and that shock would pass, you know, to the other person. He would go and tell 10 other people. In this way, the Sankirtan movement spread like magic, like wildfire it spread. Not only he preached to people, he preached to animals. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was passing through the Jharkhand forest, he actually made the tigers and deer sing and chant. The tigers and deer began to kiss and embrace. They are sworn enemies. But they began to embrace each other, dance and sing. They were actually chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The elephants, the tigers, the boars, all were chanting. The snakes, the deer, everybody was chanting and dancing. That was the nature of Lord Chaitanya's magic. And Lord Chaitanya preached himself and he empowered his devotees to preach. That is the message he gave to his devotees, that you preach. Preach to everyone. Give this holy name to everyone. Why? Because Lord Chaitanya knows that only through the devotees can this magic spread. We may hear the holy name on a cassette, on a commercial cassette, or anywhere outside we may read. But the magic will start acting on us only when we receive that holy name through the devotees of the Lord. Because they are the agents. Lord Krishna says, Bhaktya atvananya ya shakya aham eva vidhojana jnatum drashtum cha tatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. That only through pure devotional service can this knowledge be revealed to you, and only then you can know me as I am. Only then the mysteries, my magic can be revealed to you. That is why when we come to know through the devotees, then we can understand Krishna and Krishna's magic. He has appointed them as agents. Just some days ago, one of our devotees, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, he gave a very beautiful example. He was saying that if you go to a wholesaler, you know, supposing they are manufacturing fabrics, and you tell them, you know, you think, oh, I'll get very cheap fabric if I go to the wholesaler. And you go there and you tell him, I want to buy such and such fabric. He will immediately tell you, no, I don't sell like this. You go to the retail outlet and buy from there. I have given the agency to them. He will not sell to you directly. So same way, Krishna has given the agency of his magic to his devotees. They can give you that magic. He can, but he'll not. He wants you to take it from his devotees because they are very, very dear to him. So the devotees of the Lord also are empowered to create magic in our lives. And how do they do that? They give us their association. They give us books based on the scriptures. They distribute books. They give us the holy names and they give us Krishna Prasad. And by that, they create magic in our lives. And what is that magic? The magic is that a radical change takes place in our consciousness. Our heart gets transformed. There are so many examples of how when people come in contact with the devotees of the Lord, immediately their heart gets transformed. They may be in the most degraded condition of life, but they can rise above, they can transcend that and come to the stage of pure, loving, devotional service to the Lord. There is an example of Narad Muni and Mrigari. Mrigari was a hunter. He used to half kill animals and leave them. But just on coming in contact with Narad Muni, he became purified to such an extent that he was not even willing to step on an ant. A person who used to half kill animals and leave them, torture them. He was a sadist. But after coming in contact with Narad Muni, once when Narad Muni came to meet him, he was about to offer obeisances. He just brushed away ants who were on the path with his cloth and then he offered obeisances. He did not even want to kill an ant. That was the level of purification. So that is what happens when we come in contact with the devotees. It works like magic on our heart. It purifies our heart. Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he created magic in all our lives. At the age of 70, he went to the Western countries. Everybody told him not to go. You are so old. He was staying in Vrindavan. Everybody comes to Vrindavan to die. And at this age, you are leaving Vrindavan and going to the West. Nobody used to cross the seas. Sat Samundar Par. Nobody used to go at that time. Now it's common. But in those days, no one used to go. So everyone stopped him. But Prabhupada had faith in the order of his Guru and in the order of Lord Chaitanya. And he went to the Western countries to preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language. And within a very, very short span of time, he established 108 temples all over and he had thousands and thousands of disciples. How could he do it? It was just magic. How was he empowered to do this magic? By Lord Krishna. Once, when some burning smell? Once Prabhupada was sitting in Vrindavan and a magician was just performing tricks like how Radha did for the Gurukul children. And suddenly, that magician, he started using Prabhupada for the tricks and the disciples felt a little uneasy. You know that he's using Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was very cool. He was very casual. And he gave Prabhupada a coin and then he put the coin in Prabhupada's ear and he made it disappear. So Prabhupada said, can you make it appear again? He said, no. So he said, you can only make things disappear. So the magician laughed. Then Prabhupada, he did a lot of tricks. Then Prabhupada asked him, can you make birth, old age, disease and death disappear? The magician said no and he sat down. And Prabhupada stood up. All this time he had been seeing the magic show, but now he stood up and he said, but I can. That is real magic. And then he explained transcendental knowledge to the magician. He explained to him the knowledge of devotional service. So that is real magic. When somebody can free us from the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease, and free us from all the miseries of this material world that we are suffering, that is real magic. When someone asked Srila Prabhupada that, can you show us some miracles? So he pointed to his disciples and he said, this is my miracle. This is my magic that I have transformed hippies into happies. These people who are in the most degraded conditions of life, they were smoking, they were taking intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and now they have become pure Vaishnavas. All of them are wearing dhoti, kurta, saris, wearing beautiful Vaishnav tilak, and chanting, dancing, distributing books, engaging in pure devotional service. This is my magic. People may show mystic tricks, people may show magic, they may do so many type of miracles, but that will not change our heart. Once there was a devotee called Rasikanand, who was a very, very close associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he was in his village, and most of the villagers were his disciples, and he was brushing his teeth with a datun, a neem stick. You know, you get these long neem sticks for neem or babul tree, whatever. He was brushing his teeth with that, and his disciples came to him and said, Gurudev, Gurudev, a mystic yogi has come to our village, and he's sitting on a broomstick and flying around the village. So Rasikanand continued brushing. He said, just chant Hare Krishna. So they thought maybe Gurudev is just woken up, so he is not realizing. We'll say again. So again he said, but Gurudev, he's sitting on a broomstick. He's flying around the entire village on a broomstick. So he just ignored. He said, just chant Hare Krishna. So again and again they're pestering him. Finally he got so fed up. He threw that datun, that neem stick that he had, he threw it down. He sat on it. He flew around the entire village. He came back, he picked up the same datun and he started brushing and he said, these things are not so important, just chant Hare Krishna. That means sometimes the disciples of Lord Chaitanya also had these mystic powers. But they knew that this is not important. Prabhupada said, if somebody can cross the river barefoot, just walking across the river, you can pay 50 paisa to the boatman and cross. Those things are not important. What important is that there should be a transformation of our heart. Because when the heart is transformed, then we can be free from the miseries of birth and death and be transported back to the spiritual world where we can come in contact with the magic of the greatest magician, Lord Shri Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Very much, Radharani Mataji. Now, if anybody has any questions, or you can ask her and she will answer your questions. Somebody can put on these lights. Any questions anybody has?
As Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says, if you have no questions, it means two things. Either you didn't understand anything or you understood everything. I hope it's the second part.
So we'll go on to the next part of the program, but before that we'll make some announcements about the next Chetna program, which is going to be a very special. You have a question? We'll take her question first.
Hari Bol Mataji, thank you very much. It's a... After having heard everything, we know all this is right and eventually Krishna is the Supreme Personality and Maya Devi is under His control. But eventually, whenever there are all these temptations, we always succumb to it. Having heard it very clearly, always succumb to it. So how practically can we apply it in our life? As to...
What like, temptations?
No, temptations in our life, as in we always succumb to it, knowing very well this is all just Maya's energy and Maya's tricks. So in our practical life, how do we manage these things, keeping Krishna in the center and always being Krishna conscious?
Maya, the energy, Maya's energy is very, very strong. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya, mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. That this material energy of mine is very difficult to overcome, naturally, because it is His energy. It's one of our devotees was giving an example that when Krishna and Arjuna were on the chariot, after the war was over, Arjuna was about to get down. Arjuna, normally the charioteer gets down first, na? And then he tells the person to get down. A driver would get down, open the door for the person who's seated, his master, and then the driver will close everything and get down. So Arjuna told Krishna, you get down. Krishna, all these days Krishna had been getting down. But now Krishna said, no, first you get down. So Arjuna got down, and as soon as Krishna got down, the chariot became ashes. It just turned into ashes because so many arrows had been hitting that chariot. But just because Krishna was there, that chariot had not broken or been destroyed, just because of his energy. So Krishna is so powerful. So can you imagine how powerful his energy Maya Devi must be? She's very powerful. It's not so easy to overcome the temptations given to us by Maya. That is why we need very, very strong association. If we are constantly in the association of devotees, if we are constantly taking guidance from devotees, only then we can overcome the temptations of Maya. Otherwise, we will succumb. It's very, very easy to succumb. Even the most powerful yogis, they have known to succumb because they are not in the association of devotees. Bharat Maharaj, he got attached to a deer. He left his palace, such a big palace, everything. He was so renounced, he left everything. And then he came in the forest and he got attached to a deer and he had to take birth again. Why? Because he was alone. So if we try to do things on our own strength, we may fail because we are not so strong. We are very weak. But if we have the association of devotees, then we have their strength to back us. Then we can fight against Maya. Then she will let go also. She will stop influencing us. Initially she will, but when we pass the test, when she knows that we are very sincere, then she will let go. I'll end with an example. Once His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj had told us a beautiful story of how he was distributing newspapers as a young boy just to earn some pocket money. And this one particular house had a very terrible, horrible looking dog. German dogs are famous. So he used to bark so much, Sachinandan Maharaj used to get nightmares about him. When he used to go to put the paper, this dog of course was chained, but he used to bark like anything. So he used to always think, maybe he'll fall on me. So one day when he went there, the master of that house called him inside. Called Sachinandan Maharaj, who was then a small boy, inside. So he said, now I'm finished. So the master called him in. He said, I want to thank you. You know, you've been so punctual on time and giving the newspaper regularly. And as soon as he entered, as he thought, the dog started, like it was as if the leash would break. It was stretching so much, you know, the dog and barking. So he thought, I'm finished. And then this master just told the dog, you know, quiet, Timmy. He's a friend. And immediately this dog stopped barking and started wagging his tail. So Maya Devi is like that. She's right now, she's showing us our teeth. Her teeth, you know, she's growling at us. We are seeing that form of Maya Devi. But if we are really sincere, then Krishna, Radharani will tell Maya Devi, okay, this person is a devotee, leave him alone, leave her alone. Then we won't come under the influence of Maya, but that's a very, very high stage. First, we have to go through the stage of sadhana bhakti. That means we have to actually practice devotional service the way it has been recommended in the scriptures. And then, when we become very, very sincere, then we will come under the transcendental energy of the Lord and not Maya's energy. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.
Any other question?
Hare Krishna. This is a very personal question, my own experience. I've been coming to the temple, not very regularly though, but I've also been chanting, not in the traditional way with that. I've just been chanting Krishna's name, the Maha Mantra. I have had a lot of experiences in terms of my dreams, wherein I've had a lot of bad dreams. And in my dream, I chant God's name. And the dream just gets over or I wake up. I've had a lot of, you know, bad dreams. And I chant Krishna's name and, you know, the dream gets over. So I've just been wondering, why is this? I mean, is it that I've not, is it God's way of showing that I've not been chanting God's name regularly? I've just, you know, been very curious as to why I've been having these dreams.
Dreams are something very subtle actually. Prabhupada explains that Sometimes they are from previous lifetimes, the memories or, you know, the images that have been imprinted in our mind, those may come as dreams. Or some things which have just happened in the past few days, or we have seen something, we have heard something, that may come in a very subtle way in the form of dreams. Like, for example, if you have seen gold and you have seen a mountain, you may see a golden mountain in your dream. But dreams are not real. Dreams are not real. We all know that. We may see a tiger in our dream or anything. So that
these
is not
are always
real.
Bad dreams, and then they just, I just wake up when I take God's name. It's like probably, you know,
actually,
danger to my life.
Yeah, I understood.
Danger Krishna, to my property.
Krishna is trying to tell you that this whole material world is like a bad dream. And if you take his name, then this bad dream will come to an end. Because when you wake up, all you have to do is wake up, right? All you have to do is wake up. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us. Just wake up. Jeev Jago. So this material world is like a bad dream. And when we chant the holy names, then what happens? We wake up. And when we wake up, the dream is no more there. So maybe Krishna is trying to give you that message. That all you have to do is open your eyes and the bad dream will end. So what is the purpose behind the thing happening? I don't know. But this is what I interpret. That maybe Krishna is trying to tell you that this material world itself is like a bad dream. Just open your eyes and the dream will end. You will go back to him. Hari Bol.
Any other questions? Some other people getting bad dreams?
Even I get dreams. Sometimes I sometimes dream that I have an exam and I have not prepared and I'm sitting and I'm sweating. You know, and when I wake up, I say, thank God, you know, I'm relieved. Now it's my daughter's turn to do all that. I'm out of that.
Hare Krishna, I heard a lecture in which an example was given of a man who came back from his office very tired. He was very, very tired. He was very thirsty. But then he thought that I'll drink water later. First, let me just go and lie down on the bed. So he went and lay down on the bed. And throughout the night, he was dreaming of a big matka of ice-cold water, which he was just removing a glass full of that matka water he was drinking. But still he was thinking in his mind, why am I still feeling thirsty? I'm drinking so much water, but I'm still thirsty. And then he woke up. When he woke up, he realized that the water he was drinking was in his dream. So all he had to do was he went to the kitchen and actually there was a matka of cool water which he drank. He just drank one glass and he was satisfied. So whatever you see in your dream, it is just a dream. Actually, you have to wake up and actually you have to practically do what you have been asked to do.
Hari
and then you will be satisfied.
Thank you very much. Hari Bol.
Any other questions? So we'll want to make a very important and special announcement for next time's Chetna. If you all heard today's class properly, Mataji was mentioning that how these other magics that we see, we get very fascinated by it. Like we saw when she was performing the magic, everybody was like, how did the banana come cut from inside and how did things appear and disappear? But after hearing the lecture, we can understand that we should not get fascinated by this type of magic. The real magic is what devotees can do, make birth, death, old age and disease disappear and to change people's lives. Nothing changes otherwise. We might attend programs year after year, month after month, day after day, but we could remain what we are for the rest of eternity. So for next time's Chetna, we want to let you all know that one such person whose life has been changed by the magic of Srila Prabhupada, which you mentioned, the founder Acharya Viscon, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is the devotee who's going to come for next Chetna is such a special person. You'll be surprised to know that she was the most famous actress of Australia in her youth. We know that all actresses in their youth, they look the best. And as the years go by, nobody wants to look at them and they don't want the world to see them as old. So they disappear from the scene only. So you only see the good part of the actresses. You never see what they actually would be. Nobody remains young all through. But this particular person who was there, In Australia, she was so famous that people would throng like anything just to have a handshake or a look at her or anything. And somehow or the other, she came in contact with a devotee who was a disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And she heard him and she realized how this whole material world is like a dream. And what all I am trying to do to achieve this name, fame, recognition is simply part of all this temporariness. So what is my eternal goal of my life? She started questioning, who am I? Who is God? And what is my relationship with God? And she slowly started coming to the temple. And as you would not expect such a famous person to change, she actually transformed. And she became a regular Hare Krishna devotee. And in those days, Hare Krishna devotees meant that you had to, devotees would leave home and they would join full time in the temple. That was the Westerners, that's how they joined. And she gave up everything. Her promising career, future, whatever she had, life of such glamour and name, fame, recognition, everything. She gave up and she joined the temple full time. She donated everything to the temple. And she started serving in the temple. And how? In her house, before she must have become a devotee, she must have had hundreds of servants ready to do anything at beck and call, they would do. And here she was serving the devotees by washing vessels, cleaning the floor, doing sweeping, mopping, all these type of services. So when the outside world, they hear about such a change, it's the greatest story, you know, which they can publish. If a paper like Mumbai Mirror or something would be there to take the garbage of the world, you know, they would go first over there. So newspapers go to these type of sensational story. So they went to the temple, local temple, and they asked, okay, where is this actress? So they said, she must be somewhere here. So this reporter went looking and she was in the kitchen and she had head covered, wearing a crumpled cotton sari, and she was washing vessels. So this person clicked pictures, you know, of her doing that, and he went away. So she thought maybe, you know, they've just clicked pictures. And next day when she was doing her services, somebody came to call her that, did you see this? They showed her the newspaper, you know. And the front page of the most prominent newspaper of Australia, they had shown two blown up pictures. One was her as an actress with open hair and a lot of thick makeup and clothes and jewelry and everything in a hi-fi model pose. And the second part was her as Hare Krishna devotee with head covered and washing vessels in the kitchen. And then it said that transformation, whatever, I don't remember this thing. And the whole article showed that how, what she was and what she has become. So she was so embarrassed, you know, okay, this photo has come. And to add to her embarrassment, that devotee said that, we showed this to Srila Prabhupada and he's calling you. And she said, oh no, because in that first picture she was hardly wearing any clothes. You know, and imagine your spiritual master seeing you like that first. And she said, why did you have to show it to Prabhupada? He said, oh, he was so happy. He wants to call you. And the moment she went in front of Srila Prabhupada, she couldn't even face him. And Prabhupada looked at her and he thanked her so much. And he said, her name was Jagat Arini Mataji after initiation. I don't remember her previous name. So he just looked at her into the eyes straight. And what he spoke, if you hear these words of what he spoke, all your lives will not remain the same. Srila Prabhupada looked into her eyes and he spoke to her soul, not to her body. And he said, Jagat Arini, just give this one life to Krishna. Said, so many lives you have wasted doing so many things. Just give this one life to Krishna. After this, you can do what you want to do. Before this, you have done what you want to do. Can you give this one life to Krishna? And tears started rolling from her eyes. And it helped her to surrender more, even more, that this is a real person whom I should be giving my life for, not to this materialistic society where we put in so much of energy and what do we get in return? Only anxiety, depression, reversals, that's all we get. We don't get love, we get hatred. We don't get fame, we get infamy. All the negativities we get. And she became even more committed. So this Mataji, she is coming for next Chetna program. We are so fortunate. Sometimes we just hear about these things and read about in the book. While I'm speaking, also my hairs are standing on end. You know, that we never in our life thought when we read these books that someday we might be able to see such people who have actually, sometimes we read now, this person did this. Oh, he's a great person. But suppose, you know, you are told, you can meet Arjun today. he surrendered to Krishna. So how you would feel? I mean Arjun, but it is the same, in the same parampara, this Mataji surrendered her life to the representative of Krishna and she was in the line of Arjun. So how much we would be eager to be able to attend this. It's a lifetime opportunity. We request each of you, not only youth must come, but please, please, please help some other people also change their lives by bringing them along. It will go a long way. It will have a deep impressions in your heart when people who are actually dedicated their lives, when they speak, it enters straight into the heart because purity is the force. So we would request you with folded hands. Don't miss this opportunity. We want that hundreds of people should come in front of her and sit like this and imagine the pleasure that she will feel. That so many people want to surrender to God. So that is our great request. The date is 28th of October, Saturday. It's usually on a Saturday, but 28th of October. And you all will get reminder calls just in case you forget. But on this very day when you go home, make a note of it in your diary. That this date is booked no matter what comes. Hail or storm or rain or whatever it is, we will still come. We are seeing Navratri festival is going on nowadays. It's creating so much ruckus everywhere. In front of our house, there is a big open ground where it is like a village has been set up over there. And we were praying that we hope it rains, you know, that they cannot do all this because it's so disturbing to us. And Krishna answered our prayers. It rained one of the days. But can you believe it? They enjoyed more in the rain. Nothing could stop them. So Srila Prabhupada said that if we have as much strong desire to attain Krishna as these people have to attain Maya, we would have not been in this material world today. So let's take this opportunity. Let's not be there. Our determination will not be deterred by anything. Come on 28th of October without fail and get other people also to save them. We are saving ourselves, but save other people also along with us. Okay? And as you all know that Sunday program is also going on over here. And a new feature we have started, as we announced last time, that we have a suggestion box which has been kept over here. If you all can see behind that table at the entrance, there's a suggestion box. Although we have asked you for the feedback forms, you all fill in the feedback forms. But if you also want to give some extra suggestions, then you can write. You need not write your names if you don't want to write. How we can improve our Chetana program over here. So please put these... put chits in it if you have any valuable suggestions by which we can improve our services. And now we will go to the best part of the program, that is the kirtan. Yeah, that is a kirtan which we will be having now, and we want to apply that formula which we just mentioned, that how enthusiastically these people dance for Navratri outside. So we want to dance 10 times at least more enthusiastically than them. And I'm sure, because the festival of Navratri is for Durga Devi, which is the energy of Maya, energy of Krishna, which Radharani Mataji was mentioning about. And for the energy of Krishna, if people are dancing so enthusiastically, for the source of that energy, we should be dancing much more enthusiastically and singing our lungs out like they sing their lungs out. More than that, we will compete with them to please Krishna. And last but not the least, we want to make an announcement that all those of you who have come for the first time, kindly stand in your places. So many of you, for the first time, we thank you all very much and we hope that you enjoyed this program and it is a beginning of an eternal spiritual life for all of you. And our prayers to Shishi Radha Gopinath that they continuously keep showering their causeless mercy on all of you. And for all of you, please meet. All of you can meet with Niladri Mataji behind. Please stand up for a minute. She will inform you of all the various things that are happening. What is Chetna? What are the different activities that go on in this temple? So kindly do meet her and we will welcome all of you in our traditional style by loudly three times saying,
Haribol! Haribol! Haribol!
Please take your seats. Thank you very much for coming. And also once again, we would like to thank Kirtida Mataji for having come and blessed our program. We feel very honored and we request you, whenever you have the time, kindly to come and encourage us in this way. Thank you so much, Mataji, for coming. So, please stand in your places and now Sita Mataji will sing Kirtan for us.